don't want to fight. They sit by the fire, trading stories all night. Dolphins and the mermaids, the jellyfish too. They tell stories in bubbles that pop. The sun sets on the ocean, but they never stop. Tell us a tale.
Tell us a tale.
If we look up in the air and down on the floor, tales are for telling, so tell us one more. Tell us a tale.
Tell us a tale.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to take it easy this week with a couple of stories about having a more laid-back approach to life, starting with Monroe Leaf's The Story of Ferdinand, and that's published by Viking.
Once upon a time in Spain, there was a little bull, and his name was Ferdinand. All the other little bulls he lived with would run and jump and butt their heads together. But not Ferdinand. He liked to sit just quietly and smell the flowers. He had a favorite spot out in the pasture under a cork tree. It was his favorite tree, and he would sit in its shade all day and smell the flowers. Sometimes his mother, who was a cow, would worry about him. She was afraid he would be lonesome all by himself.
Moo, why don't you run and play with the other little bulls and skip and butt your head, Ferdinand?
But Ferdinand would shake his head.
I like it better here, where I could just sit quietly and smell the flowers, Mother.
His mother saw that he was not lonesome, and because she was an understanding mother, even though she was a cow, she let him just sit there and be happy. As the years went by, Ferdinand grew and grew until he was very big and strong. All the other bulls who had grown up with him in the same pasture would fight each other all day. They would butt each other and stick each other with their horns. What they wanted most of all was to be picked to fight at the bullfights in Madrid. But not Ferdinand. He still liked to sit just quietly under the cork tree and smell the flowers. One day, five men came in very funny hats to pick the biggest, fastest, roughest bull to fight in the bullfights in Madrid. All the other bulls ran around snorting and butting, leaping and jumping, so the men would think that they were very, very strong and fierce and pick them. Ferdinand knew that they wouldn't pick him, and he didn't care. So he went out to his favorite cork tree to sit down. He didn't look where he was sitting, and instead of sitting on the nice cool grass in the shade, he sat on a bumblebee. Well, if you were a bumblebee, and a bull sat on you, what would you do? You would sting him. And that is just what this bee did to Ferdinand. Wow, did it hurt? Ferdinand jumped up with a snort. He ran around puffing and snorting, butting and pawing the ground as if he were crazy. The five men saw him, and they all shouted with joy. Here was the largest and fiercest bull of all, just the one for the bullfights in Madrid. So they took him away for the bullfight day in a cart. And what a day it was. Flags were flying, bands were playing, and all the lovely ladies had flowers in their hair. They had a parade into the bull ring, and first came the banderilleros, with long, sharp pins with ribbons on them to stick in the bull and make him mad. Next came the picadores, who rode skinny horses, and they had long spears to stick in the bull and make him madder. Then came the matador, the proudest of all. He thought he was very handsome and bowed to the ladies. He had a red cape and a sword and was supposed to stick the bull last of all. Then came the bull. And you know who that was, don't you? Ferdinand. They called him Ferdinand the Fierce. And all the banderilleros were afraid of him. And the picadores were afraid of him. And the matador was scared stiff. Ferdinand ran to the middle of the ring, and everyone shouted and clapped because they thought he was going to fight fiercely and butt and snort and stick his horns around. But not Ferdinand. When he got to the middle of the ring, he saw the flowers in all the lovely ladies' hair, and he just sat down quietly and smelled. He wouldn't fight and be fierce no matter what they did. He just sat and smelled. And the banderilleros were mad. And the picadores were madder. And the matador was so mad he cried because he couldn't show off with his cape and sword. So they had to take Ferdinand home. And for all I know, he is sitting there still, under his favorite cork tree, smelling the flowers just quietly. He is very happy.
Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, it will be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right. The gift to be gentle, tis the gift to be fair, tis the gift to wake and breathe the morning air, to walk every day in the path that we choose. Tis a gift we pray we may never, never lose. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we will not be ashamed. Turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right. Tis the gift to be knowing, tis the gift to be kind, tis the gift to wait, to hear another's mind, that when we speak our feeling it may come out true. Tis a gift for me and a gift for you. you. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right. 'Tis the gift to be loving, 'tis the best gift of all, like a warm spring rain, bringing beauty when it falls. And when we use this gift, we may come to believe that it's better to give than it is to receive. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right.
From a live appearance on Tell Us a Tale, that was Jan Smith, who also does our theme song, by the way, singing the traditional Shaker tune, Simple Gifts. You are listening to Tell Us a Tale. Well, for our next tale celebrating a more laid-back lifestyle, Jen and I are going to tell you the English tale called Lazy Jack, adapted by Vivian French, and that's published by Candlewick Press.
There was no one as lazy Jack. He got out of bed in the afternoon, and he yawned, and he stretched, and he ate, and he ate, and he drank, and he burped. Then he went back to bed without ever doing anything for anybody.
This won't do, Jack. It just won't do. This won't do at all, Jack.
And so Jack's mom went to ask the builder to take Jack to work with him. So the next day, Jack worked for the builder. And he carried bricks and buckets and ladders and wood and cups of tea all day long. And at the end of the day, the builder thanked him and gave him a coin. Well, Jack was pleased.
Mom's gonna be so happy.
And all the way home, he balanced the coin on his thumb, on his finger, on his head, and on his nose. But it fell off his nose and rolled into the bushes.
Oh, no!
Well, Jack was just too lazy to look for it, so he went home.
Well, Jack, did you get paid?
Yeah, Mom, I had a coin, but it fell off my nose and I lost it.
Jack, you are a silly, silly boy. You should have put it safely in your pocket.
I'll do that the next time. Can I go to bed now, Mom?
Oh, go to bed, Jack. Well, maybe tomorrow I'm going to ask the farmer if Jack can work for her.
So the next day, Jack worked for the farmer. And he fed the cows and the sheep and the hens and the pigs and the ducks and the geese. And at the end of the day, the farmer thanked him and gave him a big jug of milk.
Don't you spill it, Jacques.
I know what to do. My mom told me. See, I'm going to put it in my pockets, just like she said.
And
now
he did.
The milk's all safe.
He poured the milk into his pockets, and he started to walk home.
My pants are awfully wet.
Jack soon saw his mother.
Goodness me, what have you been doing, Jack? What's coming out of your pockets?
Well, you told me to do it, Mom. The farmer, he gave me a jug of milk, so I poured it into my pockets to keep it safe.
Oh,
but my pants are a little wet now.
Jack, you are a silly, silly boy. You should have carried the jug home on your head.
I'll do that the next time. Can I go to bed now, Mom?
Oh, go to bed, Jack. What am I going to do with that boy? Well, maybe I'll ask if he can work with the dairyman tomorrow. Maybe he can manage that.
So the next day, Jack went to work for the dairyman. And he swept the dairy, scrubbed the floor, and skimmed the milk, and wrapped the cheeses. And at the end of the day, the dairyman thanked him and gave him a large wheel of cheese.
Oh, it's awfully sunny outside there, Jack. You better be sure to keep your cheese cool. You don't want it to melt.
I know what to do. My mom told me.
And so then Jack put the cheese on his head and walked out into the sunshine.
Ugh.
Well, it was a very, very hot day, and it wasn't long before the cheese began to melt. Jack wiped his face, and he kept on walking, and the cheese kept on melting. And soon his mom saw him coming toward her.
Heavens above, Jack!
I did what you said, Mom. I carried the cheese home on my head. It's not my fault that it melted.
Jack, you are a silly, silly boy. You should have wrapped it up in a wet cloth to keep it cool.
Oh, I'll do that the next time. Can I go to bed now, Mom?
Oh, go to bed. What am I going to do with that boy? He can't seem to do anything right. Well, tomorrow I'll ask the baker if he'll take him to work.
So the next day, Jack went to work for the baker. And he mixed the dough and kneaded the bread and checked the ovens and took out the loaves. And at the end of the day, the baker thanked him.
I'll keep a dog to catch the rats. Would you like one of her puppies, Jake?
Yes, please. Let me just get a wet cloth.
What is that wet cloth for, Jake?
I know what to do. My mom told me. Come here, puppy. I gotta wrap you up in this nice wet cloth. Oh, no.
And it wriggled away and tore his coat, and then the dog ran off down the road.
No! Come back, puppy! Come back! Mom!
Oh, hello, Jack! Why, Jack, your coat, it's all torn! What did you do?
I just did what you said. I tried to wrap the puppy up in the wet cloth, but it didn't like it, so it bit me and then tore my jacket. You
Jack.
Told me to do it, Mom.
Oh, Jack, you are a silly boy. You should have tied a piece of string to its collar and let it walk beside you.
Okay, I'll do that the next time. Can I go to bed now?
Oh, go to bed, Jack. And tomorrow he's going to work for the fishmonger. That's exactly what he's going to do.
And so the next day, Jack did work for the fishmonger. And he cleaned the counters and tipped out the ice and he weighed the fish and tied up the parcels.
So big.
And at the end of the day, the fishmonger thanked him and she gave him a huge silvery fish to take home.
Would you like some paper, Jack?
No, I know what to do. My mom told me. I'm just going to tie this piece of string around the fish and then I'm just going to pull it along beside me.
Oh, I don't know that's a good idea, Jack. You sure?
Yeah, of course. That's what my mom said to do. Hey, why are all these cats following behind me?
And on his way home, a line of cats began to follow Jack and his fish.
Jack! Jack! What's this?
Mom, I just did what you said. I tied the string around the fish, then I let it walk alongside next to me. I'm telling you, I just did exactly what you said. Oh. It's not my fault the cats chased after me and ate the fish up.
You are a silly boy, Jack. A silly, silly, silly boy. You should have carried it home on your back.
Okay, that's what I'll do the next time, Mom. Can I go to sleep now? I'm really tired.
Oh, go to sleep, Jack. You just go to sleep. I'm going to have a cup of tea to calm my nerves. And tomorrow, he's going to work for the grocer. That's exactly what he's going to do.
And so the next day, Jack did work for the grocer. And he sorted oranges and apples and pears. And he loaded the cart and drove around the town with a donkey. And at the end of the day, the grocer thanked him.
I'm getting the pony to pull my cart. You can have the donkey as your wages. Do you want a rope to pull him with, Jake?
No, I know what to do. My mom told me. I just gotta put him on my back. Just a second.
And he took a deep breath and heaved the donkey onto his back. Well, the grocer began to laugh. And as Jack went on down the road, so did the fishmonger and the baker and the dairyman and the farmer and the builder. And they laughed and they laughed and they laughed until their sides ached and tears were running down their cheeks. And they followed behind Jack, still laughing and laughing, as he walked away home with the donkey on his back.
Well, Jack, whatever is going on here, what are you doing?
Just let me put the donkey down, Mom.
Okay, Jack.
Well, Mom, you'll be so proud of me. I did just what you said. And look it, I brought my wages back. That's why I had the donkey on my back.
Oh, Jack, you are such a silly boy.
But the grocer and the fishmonger and the baker and the dairyman and the farmer and the builder all shouted at once.
Oh, no, he's not.
He made me laugh more than I ever laughed before. He can work for me every Monday and I give him a coin.
And I'll put it in my pocket.
He can work for me every Tuesday, and I'll give him a jug of milk.
And I'll carry it on my head.
He can work for me on a Wednesday, and I'll give him one of my best cheeses.
And I'll wrap it up in cool cloths.
He can work for me on Thursday, and I'll give him as much bread as he wants, and a pig of the puppies, too.
And I'll lead it home on a string.
He can work for me on Friday, and I'll make sure he has the biggest fish in the shop.
I'll carry it on my back all the way home.
Jake, you want to work on me on the Saturday? I got him so many of the apples and the oranges that you like to carry around.
No, on Saturdays, I'm going to stay in bed. All day.
And so he did.
Oh, Jack, dear, you're such a clever, clever boy.
Well, now, Mama don't like no music played around here. Mama don't want no music played in the air. We don't care what Mama don't allow. Gonna pick a little more anyhow. Don't like no music played around here. Now, Mama don't like no bluegrass guitar picking in here. Mama don't want no bluegrass guitar picking in here. We don't care what Mama don't allow. I'm gonna pick a little old lick or two anyhow. Don't like that bluegrass played in here. Mama don't want no washboard played in here. Uncle Joe don't care what Mama don't allow. Gonna pick on the washboard anyhow. Don't like that washboard played in here. Get her, Joe, get her down. Mama don't want no hot guitar played here. I don't care what mama don't allow, I'm gonna play a hot liquor too anyhow. Mama don't want no hot guitar played here.
The album Remembering Merle, that was Doc and Merle Watson performing Mama Don't Allow. Well, in keeping with the theme of why not put off till tomorrow what you should be doing today, we're going to close out this edition of Tell Us a Tale now with a tune called Tomorrow off Barry Lewis Polisar's album Teacher's Favorites. So we'll see you again soon, right here on Tell Us a Tale.
Wash your face, wash your face, wash your face.
My daddy said,
wash your face and put your toys away.
And I said, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I said, tomorrow, I'll do it red. And my mommy said,
clean your room, clean your room, clean your room.
My mommy said,
clean your room and make your bed.
Eat your food, eat your food.
My uncle said,
eat your food and brush your teeth.
And I said, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow.
This is Bird Note. Songbirds like this Baltimore Oriole thrive on a steady diet of scrumptious caterpillars that are often found on trees lining city sidewalks. But few of these larval moths and butterflies live their whole lives on the tree itself, says entomologist Douglas Tallamy, the co-founder of Homegrown National Park. Their next life stage is in the leaves and soil under the tree.
Well, if you look under most trees, there's no leaf litter. And we mow and compact the soil to the point where it's rock hard, so they can't get underground. So the way we treat the landscape under the tree creates an ecological trap.
That's a problem for birds who need caterpillars to raise their young. Tallamy says one solution is to grow low-lying native plants, like ferns or mayapples, around the base of trees. Or you can rake autumn leaves into piles around the trunk.
We call it creating a soft landing site for the caterpillars in that tree. They drop down. They've got a tunnel under the ground to pupate. So you have a continuation of the